From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Hart Hyden, an actor originally from Lancaster who's been living and working in Los Angeles for the past couple years. I caught up with Hart while he was in town over the holidays to talk about his experiences and what he's learned so far chasing his dreams in Southern California.
Knowing how to network, knowing how to sell yourself, and you learn from the failure after failure after failure, how to do it better the next time, how to not walk into an audition with an accent, you know, just breaking it up all the time. You just don't do that. You just go. You do it, and you learn.
Coming up, actor Hart Hyden. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. At the Wood Stove House, we think globally and act locally, especially when it comes to the arts. So for our global friends who aren't necessarily in or around central Pennsylvania, we're introducing a new segment to the program featuring our good friend Chet Williamson from Creative Works of Lancaster. Chet's here to take a look at a couple films that you really need to check out or recheck out.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the first episode ever of Codpiece. Codpiece, you say? To which I reply that Codpiece is an acronym for Cranky Old Dude Picks Incredible Examples of Cinematic Excellence. So with every episode, we'll be talking about two films. One, a classic to revisit, and I'll try and remind you of why it's so good and why you should rewatch it. And if you haven't seen it, why you should immediately add it to your Netflix queue, or better yet, buy it, since it's worth owning and not merely existing in the cloud, because what if the cloud dies or explodes or turns to rain? And the second film will be a sleeper, one you might not have ever seen or even heard of, but which should be on your radar. That's film radar. So today's classic, probably the best film Alfred Hitchcock ever made, 1958's Vertigo, and a film that's on most top 10 lists of all time. Still, Vertigo only got 2 Oscar nominations for Best Sound and Best Art Direction, wasn't even nominated for Best Picture or Director. What won that year? Gigi. Yeah. Gigi. Nice going, Academy. So why is Vertigo so good? Well, right at the start, we have those Saul Bass titles and Bernard Herrmann's hypnotic and dreamlike score, as we sink into a woman's eyeball out of which come multicolored spirals. And we find that spiral motif throughout the film. The first scene, where Jimmy Stewart as Scotty nearly falls from the roof, is classic Hitchcock. We never know how he got down, so he's left hanging over an abyss throughout the entire film. Well, Stewart was 50 when he made this movie, and he's kind of an old hero to Kim Novak's heroine, who was 25 at the time, and Hitch partially blamed Stewart's age on the film's initial failure. But it still works. I mean, here's this guy who's gone through life unattached, who suddenly falls in love with a woman he's been tailing. And it's not just love, it's obsession. And it hits him all the harder because he's not some 20-something guy. He's been around. And that obsession really breaks loose in the second half of the film. Now, the first half is kind of slow, but the entire film is like a dream, so it doesn't matter. It's disquieting throughout, and Hitchcock uses these light and dark colors brilliantly, as when the light swells like a living thing, this red light, when Scotty first sees Madeline, and darkens when the bookseller tells Carlotta's tragic story. Subtle little things. Halfway through, we hit the big set piece. Scotty's attempt to follow Madeline up the tower, and that incredible dolly zoom from his point of view as vertigo hits him. Nobody had ever seen anything like that before. There's a great dream sequence, which is like a bad acid trip, and Scotty's final descent into obsession as he tries to physically transform Judy into the now lost Madeline. These scenes are creepy as hell, and Hitch turns the beloved Jimmy Stewart into a fetishist and a necrophiliac, psychologically speaking. Judy has the most moving line in the film. If I do what you tell me, will you love me? Ooh, talk about codependency. And when Judy is transformed into Madeline, that 360-degree hotel room kiss is absolutely masterful. The revisit of Scotty and Judy to the fatal tower is incredibly intense, and the final shot is tragic and triumphant at once, the best final shot of any Hitchcock film. My parents took me to see this in the theater when I was 10, and though I didn't get it all during that first viewing, it stayed with me, and I rewatch it every few years. I suggest you do the same. Now for The Sleeper, another suspense film. Manhunter, directed by Michael Mann in 1986, based on Thomas Harris's Red Dragon and the first true Hannibal Lecter film. Silence of the Lambs got all the attention 5 years later, but Manhunter is just as good and far better than the miscast 2002 version of Red Dragon, directed by Brett Ratner, which pretty much ignored the psychological toll that serial killer profiling takes on Will Graham, the protagonist. As a result, Ed Norton seems to sleepwalk through a role to which Manhunter's William Peterson brought a terrifying intensity. And speaking of intensity, there's never been a more frightening villain than Tom Noonan's Francis Dollarhide, a.k.a. the Tooth Fairy, who slaughters whole families when he becomes the Dragon Rampant. The massive 6.5-foot-tall Noonan, with his surprisingly gentle voice and manner, is terrifying, as in the scene with the captured reporter. And heartbreaking, especially in the scenes where he nearly swoons when Joan Allen caresses the sedated tiger, and the one where he takes her hand while he's sleeping, puts it over his own mouth, and weeps. As for Lecter, Brian Cox plays probably the best Lecter on film, not as overtly sinister as Anthony Hopkins, but more frightening in his almost offhanded manner. The film, and especially the final sequence, is brilliantly shot and edited, and it's full of 80s-style visuals with lots of pastels and period music. And you'll never hear Inagata De Vita again without thinking of the final confrontation. I'm a big fan of the original novel, and when I was asked to write an essay for a book called Horror 100 Best Books, Red Dragon was my pick, and Manhunter did it proud. The film changed some of the plot elements, but the spirit remained intact. And hey, it's got a cameo by Chris Elliott, so what's not to like? If you want a real monster movie about the monsters inside all of us, give this one a try. And that's it for this episode of Codpiece. Go watch or re-watch Vertigo and Manhunter for some terrific dreams and nightmares, and next time I'll go a little easier on you. Bye-bye.
Chet will be checking in from time to time, bringing you a fresh look at rare and classic films. Find out what Chet and Creative Works of Lancaster are up to at their respective websites, ChetWilliamson.com and CreativeLancaster.org. And now for something completely local. The Woodstove House is proud to announce Playgrounds, Theater on Site, our latest public theater event scheduled for the weekend of May 5th and 6th. Three short plays have been written by area playwrights Nick Lance, Eric Goldstein, and Kevin Ressler, and the directors, Vicky Lance, Nellie Torres, and Lydia Brubaker, are busy casting. So here's the deal. The plays were written specifically for three locations in Lancaster City. The audience will gather at the first site, take in the first play, and then walk to the next site just in time for the next play. All three plays will be performed a few times over that weekend as part of Lancaster's Art Walk. The exact times are still being worked out. The performances are free and open to the public, but we need your help to make this happen. Visit woodstovehouse.com and click the Playgrounds banner at the top of the page. That will take you to our Kickstarter page, where you can help support the many artists that are involved in creating these magnificent pieces of performing art. We have read the plays and couldn't be more excited to bring this project to the streets of Lancaster. There are several levels and prizes you can contribute to this event. Please check it out, and thank you very much for supporting the performing arts. And don't forget, when you visit woodstovehouse.com, you can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or subscribe to Around the Woodstove to have the show automatically downloaded to your electronic computing device. Today on Around the Woodstove is actor Hart Hyden, a Lancaster, Pennsylvania native who has been living in Los Angeles for the past few years. I caught up with Hart over the holidays while he was in town visiting family to chat about his transition from Lancaster to the University of Pittsburgh to following his dreams out in L.A., Since this interview, Hart has been working on the pilot for a new television series called The Dark Sun.
Well, joining me in the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania is Hart Hyden from Los Angeles, California, an actor and many other things, as we'll get into. Hart is from Lancaster, Pennsylvania originally and has been out in Los Angeles for a couple of years. So I want to get into sort of that story, that transition from our little small town here in Pennsylvania to the big city, and talk a little bit about how you went from A to B, because I know that there's, well, it's actually probably A to D, and there's a few B's and C's in there too. So let's go way back. Were you acting in high school? Did you do theater?
No, I didn't dare. I was heavily involved in athletics. You look at me, like I'm 6'4". And I'm 6'2" on paper. You look at me and you think basketball. This guy played basketball. So, of course, naturally, your own expectations, and that's what I turned to. In college, I briefly, I was a performer, and I did music for my high school talent show, and it was just that talent show that I won, got first place or whatever it was. It was something that drove you to be more passionate, like, oh, I could do this. Something to bite on and savor for a while. And I guess I knew, at that point that performance was where I wanted to be in life. And I drove myself into LA and decided to pursue that full time.
So you did some acting in college, right?
Yeah, I did.
And then did you
classic theater? I did, basic Shakespeare. I don't know. If you're down with Shakespeare, it's beautiful. The guy is amazing. Just he's been analyzed and overanalyzed, and there are volumes upon volumes of people who just graduate with doctoral degrees based on, the amount of Shakespeare they've read, and kind of like the Bible interpreted.
Sure.
It's just an immense quantity of literature.
So did you come out of college and you're like, okay, were you a theater major?
No, I was actually environmental studies, and biology.
So you come out of college and you're like, I'm going to go to Los Angeles? How did you, what was the process of coming out of college and ending up in,
Yeah.
Most people don't do that.
No. It was in the back of my mind. It was one of those things that was just boiling. And 2008, I graduated, and the economy collapsed. So it was just like an adding factor to it.
Yeah.
Like one of those, this could have happened at a better time, but... Anyways, that drove me to go to Los Angeles because it was like, I'm young, why not? I want to do this. This is something I'm determined to accomplish. It sounds like an impossible thing, but shoot for the stars, you land on a cloud. That's always been my mentality, always the positive mindset. And I know who I am. I know what kind of skills and characteristics I possess that add value everywhere I go. And that's all you have to be concerned with, how to take care of yourself, how to add value to the places and people you meet.
So when you drove into Los Angeles, did you have connections out there? I mean, were you going to stay with a friend?
Yes. I moved out there basically for the fact that I knew one person who was an old college friend of mine, and he didn't live in Los Angeles, but the Los Angeles area, the San Fernando Valley, which you could consider Los Angeles,
sure,
but, it's not the heart of downtown, and you don't really want to be at the heart of downtown. You want to be West Hollywood, or part of Hollywood, where I currently reside. But he lived in Reseda, which is SFE, San Fernando Valley, and he was a theater buddy, and he accepted my stay. I called him like 2 weeks in advance. I was like, hey, what do you think about me coming out there for a while? He didn't know I was intending on staying. I just thought it was going to be a week or two, and I was going to fly back, see how it was, test the water. I did not want to dive in head first the way I did, because I didn't have a plan.
Sure.
And that's one of the most difficult things, is accommodating somebody who now all of a sudden wants to stay but doesn't really have a plan or an outline or what they're going to do next.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I was out in the SFE for a while, and got arrested at the Playboy Mansion in my first week. which is an interesting story in and of itself. I'm not too proud of it, but it happened. And I got to be honest with you. I spent 3 nights in jail for trespassing the playmobil. But listen to the story, okay? Because here's what happened.
Yeah, because right now,
in
I've
my
got
defense,
this,
I
yeah, I've got
I'm
a
building
movie.
Suspense. I'm building suspense.
Okay,
that's what it is. So we just wanted something to do on a Friday night.
Sure.
Well, let's go associate with the socialites and the erudites, the amazing, you know, fantasy land that LA possesses. So my friend suggests the Playboy Mansion. Why don't we go there? Just check it out from the outside, right? Sure. I've never seen this place. I've never been here before. It's in Beverly Hills. We decided to drive out there, check it out from the outside. And when we got there, 3 Mercedes-Benz C-Class pull up and the gate opens and we're behind them. My friend looks over at me. I'm in the passenger seat. Just dropped off my rental car.
I was going to say, what kind of car are you in?
Just dropped off my rental car. He looks at me. I'm in the passenger seat. He's like, you want to go? Let's do it. So we drove up the alleyway behind these 3 Mercedes-Benz, because that was our ticket. And we're on our way out, realizing, you know, all the parking spots are occupied. Not really wanted to, you know, we're in that phase. just, you know, our guts are, you know, our heart rate's elevated. And we're just in that phase where we're headed out the exit, but the exit is closed and the security guard comes up and stops us, tells us to pull over. He has the cops coming. And it was like an embarrassing, kind of funny story, you know, but at the same time, it wasn't a good head start, you know, like, this is not my first impression, but it will be now.
So they knew you were, I mean, they knew you guys even just pulled in there, like, they were on you.
Yeah, yeah.
So you weren't, like, in a hot tub, and you got yanked out.
No, by no means, but believe it or not, doesn't happen that often. People have tried to hop the gate, hop the fence, but they've never tried to drive through. So I was kind of, you know, like if nothing at all, at least I have that story. You know, it's so remarkable.
Talk about the challenges. Talk about what it was like. What was going on in your head as you were now you're a fish in this ocean of actors.
Right.
You know, what was that experience like coming from the University of Pittsburgh in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to this vast ocean?
Yeah, I find no matter who you are coming out of college, I mean, it's good to have a resume. It's always good to have some kind of reputation built up before you immerse yourself in that kind of environment. But it's also equally important to know how to take care of yourself, not be a fool, Well, obviously, I hit the lowest of the low coming out of jail. But for us, it was very, very fortunate that we were exonerated of all the charges.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was still the lowest of the low, but a fresh start in my mind in L.A. It was like, oh, well, you know, no fines, no fees. It's not. I found myself, you know, learning the business very quickly due to my friend's roommate. Who was actually the person that I was driving with at the time. And he said, well, you need headshots, you need this, you need that, you need this on. And I just plain and simply didn't have the money.
You can now hear Around the Wood Stove while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your iPad or smartphone. Download Stitcher for free from your app store, then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Woodstove, all one word. You'll be automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of this show will be waiting for you in your favorites, and you'll get access to thousands of other shows available on demand with no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Woodstove when you register your app. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is actor and writer Hart Hyden.
How did you even get to the spot where you were able to walk into a place and seriously audition for a part?
Oh, gosh. Well, I had to endure a lot of things, a lot of obstacles. Just like any goal you set for yourself, you can have obstacles. Mainly, it was financial for me. So it was about getting a job, getting the agent, getting the resume together, pulling something from luckily that person, that same person that was in the car with at the time. He was a photographer. And we had become good enough friends at that point that, you know, money wasn't really an issue for him. So he actually gave me my first headshots, first set of headshots. I had some headshots going out there. That was like the biggest thing. Headshots. You need headshots. You need a resume. Build those things when you can. Out in LA might not necessarily be the best place to do it. I wouldn't recommend doing what I did. But, you know, I'm comfortable with those decisions. As far as where I stand right now, you know, I'm no longer chasing or hitting the pavement, so to speak. But you're right. Getting back to your question, it's those little things you do every day, learning how to take care of yourself. And I'm serious, because people draw you into this cycle. There's this cyclic event that occurs. Oh, we got to go out to the clubs. We got to go to the gym. We got to party. And there's this hamster wheel kind of you get involved in. And you got to make sure that you're not, I don't want to say part of it, you're constantly moving. So if you do get caught in the hamster wheel, you can easily pull yourself out. It's just impressive enough that people have the ability to find themselves in a successful standpoint due to the amount of corrosive behaviors that go on in Los Angeles. It's not the same as Lancaster, for sure.
I wouldn't think so.
Well, it's nice out here.
Have there been auditions you've gone to or been called to go to that were way outside of your, you know, your comfort zone or the type that you would typically play? Mm-hmm. And what was that like to stretch yourself a bit, I guess?
You know, I guess sexuality is a, you know, big thing out there. I think there are a lot of roles that kind of get you intertwined with that. You want to stay away from those. You just, as best you can, it's safe to say that those are the most uncomfortable positions if you choose to do those. You know, like, because it's not pornography. It's supposed to be art. It's an art form, and you don't want to get exploited. As best, like, just stay on top of your moral compass.
Yeah, that's interesting. Have you ever walked into a situation where it was just like, oh, this isn't what I signed up for?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes you get to a point where you have just failed and failed and failed and failed, and you're leaving your ego at home, because that's the only way you're going to survive. Otherwise, you're going to still look back and say, why did they pick me? Why didn't they pick me? And you're just like still
right
in that mentality. You got to drop it, because they won't call you back unless they need you. If you didn't make the audition, they won't call. They won't say, hey, it's good to hear from you again, Hart Hyden. We just wanted to let you know you didn't get the role.
Right.
They don't do that.
Right, they're going to waste their time with that.
No, it's you got the part or you didn't, so you got to keep moving. It's the mentality where you leave your ego at home, keep putting yourself out there, keep making people aware that this is what you want to do, that you're committed to it, and it's tough and it's difficult, and I'm not going to say it's easy for me by any means.
The student film that you worked on for an extended period of time, is it out?
I think it's more of a pitch film.
Okay.
It's a pitch piece that they are pitching to larger production companies. Because, like I said, people do this. They self-promote and self-publish. And the best way to do that is to get yourself, as a student, is to get yourself into a film festival.
Yeah.
So you pitch your piece to production industry people who are just ready for the next big thing.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what other, besides the student film, what other work have you gotten since you've been out there?
I guess the student film was unique in that it ran an extensive period of time, and I'd quit my job.
So it kept you busy.
So yes, it kept me very busy, and I ended up doing some background parts, some extras work, which is basically what it is being part of a crowd or group of people that fill the space in the background of a TV show or of a movie. It really fills out when the monster is chasing after the people. You need people screaming and running away from it, right?
Right.
People dying, people, you know, doing crazy stuff. Those are extras. And I've done that. It's not the best paying by any means, but it is work out there. It is something where you could just jump into it the next day. It's not something you have to go through an audition process or anything like that by any means. It's something where you can just grab a job. I need $64. Well, we're doing this film. We need extras. You jump into that, and it's something like you. Like I said, you drop your ego and you do it. You commit to it. You get to know people who are struggling, doing the same thing you're doing, and their stories are unique and interesting, and just people have such fantastic stories. I don't consider myself to be anything of significance right now. I just know the people out there are the people that are working background extras day in, day out, are people who are really committed to finding safe alternatives, which would be roles, lead roles and parts. And it does lead to that. It could lead to that. I mean,
what other things in the business do you do? Do you write? Do you direct? Have you done anything outside of acting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I write a lot. It's just something that really keeps me going. Writing, music, also writing in general.
What do you think, if you could sum up the transformation of the heart today versus the heart 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
How are you different today as a result of this experience from 2 years ago?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would say that I was fortunate enough to run into some amazing mentors and people that just, you know, were younger than me, but at the same time held this amazing influence. And it was in regards to personal health and well-being. They kind of showed me how to really take care of myself. So I guess the major difference between me 2 years ago and me now is that I feel supremely confident in my ability to take care of myself. And that you know, I'm very comfortable with who I am now. You know, it's not the heart back then. It was kind of worried what other people would think and worried, you know, just I know I'm good. I know I'm trying to help people, and I know I care about people. There's three simple factors that really make me different from who I was back then.
Well, thanks so much for coming in and talking about your experiences. Mm-hmm. This has been really cool.
Yeah.
In a sort of a whirlwind 24 hours of like meeting you, literally, right? So I really appreciate your insight, and I wish you all the best out there.
Thank you.
Keep in touch when you come back to Lancaster to visit.
Yeah, you know, I would love that.
Let me know what's going on.
Thank you. Keep in touch. Thank you so much.
A link to Heart on Facebook can be found on this show post at our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. We would love to hear from you and your friends. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Find us online at woodstovehouse.com.